Was Hebrews. I want you to look at Hebrews chapter number 1, chapter 2. I'm going to take a couple verses from each chapter. Now, I don't know, I'm sure if you watch any TV, some of you do, probably some of you don't. I'm sure at times you see commercials. I hate commercials. Usually when commercials come on, I go somewhere else. And they used to have this one commercial. This guy was pretty smart in making it, but it used to irritate me to death. He'd walk around, "Have you heard me yet?" Anybody ever see that commercial? Can you hear me yet? Can you hear me now? There you go. And he's pretty smart. What he did was he made his name for himself. And then when he got popular, he went to another competitor of the one. Now he's doing it for them. And I used to think that's the dumbest commercial. But I guess he made a lot of money. He probably got rich off of it. And so I don't know who the dummy was in there. But it used to wear me out. I couldn't stand it. But tonight I want to use that thought. And I want to ask you this. Have you heard him yet? And I want to show you a couple things. And I would like for you to pay attention, especially if you're not saved. I want you to listen. And even if you are saved, I hope that there'll be something that will help you as well. Very simple what I want to give you tonight, but it's very, very important. And I see several of you fanning. Is it warm, too warm in here? Okay, the air just kicked on a little bit. You can knock it down one notch there, and maybe it'll cool it down a little bit. Sorry about that. This time of year, what happens is we keep one on heat and one on air. When it gets too cold, the heat kicks on, too hot, the air kicks on. So that's all we can do. But let's get our mind on the Word of God for just a few moments. Look, if you would, starting in chapter 1 and begin reading with me, if you would. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had made himself, when he had by himself purged our sins, sit down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Skip on down, if you would, to chapter 2. The Bible says, if you look right up above, chapter 2 and verse 13, but to which the angel said, he at any time sit on my right hand, until I made thine enemies thy footstool. In other words, they're comparing Jesus to the angels. It says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who are the heirs of salvation? Somebody said, what do angels do during this time? They minister to us. You may not know it. They're all around us. The Bible reveals and pulls back the curtains a few times and lets us understand that even though we don't see them, God's angels are all around us. We don't understand everything there is about it, but we do know they minister to us. And you're never alone. The Lord's always with you, but you need to know something. He has his angels around us, and they protect us. And when we get to heaven, when we know as we are known, we'll understand that a little more. But notice, if you would, in verse number 1 of chapter 2. Therefore, I always tell you when you see that word, you need to look and see what it's there for. But really, to be honest with you, what it means is you need to pay attention. You need to pay attention to what's being said here, because it connects what's being said with what you're fixing to say. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him? God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. Now, let's read on just a couple more verses. I'm going to bring them out anyway. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visited him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he hath put it all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. Look on down one more place in verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. It says, for verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham, whereof in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brother, that he might be caught by a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to secure them that are tempted. Tonight I want to preach, as I said, upon this little simple thought. Have you heard him? Can you hear him? It's important that everybody here hear the Lord. Everybody here, if you're ever going to be saved, the Lord's going to call you. He's going to speak to your heart. It might not be an audible sound, but it will be a voice that you will know. The Bible says he moves in a small still voice. In other words, there's a tugging of your heart. There's a bidding. You can tell when the Lord is dealing with you. And so I want us to look at a couple things that he encourages us and warns us that we better take heed of. First of all, I want you to know in chapter 2, I want you to notice that he says in chapter 1, he says in the Old Testament, God sent prophets. He sent people in all kinds of different ways to warn people what was going to happen, to tell them about salvation, to warn them of the judgment to come. And several times you'll read of Enoch and Noah and all of them, knowing that they were a preacher of righteousness, warning people of the judgment to come. And the Bible says here in chapter 1 that God did all that in times of old. But now he has spoken in Jesus' time. He had spoken in three ways. One is by angels. If you remember at his birth, angels came. Angels came, presented themselves and so forth. And the Bible says if angels there, in verse number 2, chapter 2, if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense and reward. In other words, when God sent an angel and said something was going to happen, it happened. When he sent angels to Sodom and Gomorrah and told Lot he's going to destroy them by fire and brimstone, guess what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah? It got destroyed. And so therefore, when angels spoke, they were steadfast. And the word, when it spoke, it come true. Then the Bible says that he had spoken by his son. And his son, Jesus, come, and he shared with us the word. He gave us a truth about salvation. Here the Bible says that it is a great salvation. The reason why it was great is because it was provided by God, and it was for all. Everybody can have the salvation of God, but you got to hear him. It is a great salvation. Amen. There is no greater plan. Right. Not only that, it's offered to all men. There's not anybody that cannot be saved. But you'll not get saved at your bidding. You'll get saved at God's bidding. And you need to understand that. I hear people tell me all the time, well, preacher, I'm going to put it off. Someday I'm going to do it. That's not your choice. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. When you hear his voice, he's speaking to you. When you hear him, you better respond. The Bible says we need to take an earnest heed. Now, know that, but also notice that this salvation in verse number 3, this salvation, and we know from Jesus' teaching, that this salvation, even though it's great, it's going to be neglected by many. Neglect means to put it off. The Bible says, in that day many will say unto me, there'll be many people. The Bible says a wide, broad road, many will lead many to destruction. Few will be, they'll find a straight, narrow way. You better hear what I'm saying. It won't be somebody say, well, surely I've got to be one of several that's going to make it. If everybody's going to heaven that says they're going to go, surely I'll go. But the Bible says there are going to be few that goes. Have you ever heard his voice? Are you listening to him? The Bible says and teaches us there's going to be many that's going to neglect it. Jesus said that. Few, many. You better hear what he says. Then the Bible also says and teaches us that there's going to be a lot of people thinks that some way they're going to avoid the judgment of God. How shall ye escape if you neglect so great a salvation? There is no way of escape. And the thing that you need to understand is this. Escape is absolutely impossible. If you don't get saved and you don't hear him when he calls, you don't respond and give earnest heed to his call and his voice, there will be no escape. And in hell, you open your eyes being in torments. Now, besides the voice of the word that he's given us here, he spoke to us by several things. He spoke to us by his birth. Notice if you would, in verse number 6 and 7 and 8, that he came and he was made a little lower than the angels. He was made like us. The Bible says down there, he was given the seed of Abraham. He was the Son of God. Amen. He was God. And yet he come down and he took a body like ours. He chose to do that for his birth. What did he come for? Look, if you would, in verse number 9, says, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the what? Suffering of death. He came and he took upon him a body. Everything about his birth speaks one word to us. Humility. God humbled himself. In other words, the Son of God humbled himself and he came. He came, and just think about this. The very Son of God that he created the whole universe, all the angels bowed and worshiped him in heaven. He is the primary one in heaven that everyone looks to, and yet he come down here and he was born in a manger, in a stable, around a bunch of animals. Imagine the life that he walked here. And so through his birth, we see a humble, and it speaks humility. The Bible says that God gives grace to the humble. We have an example of his voice. You better hear what he says. You better humble yourself. The Bible says God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. If you want to come and be saved, you got to humble yourself. Jesus taught us how to humble ourselves. Have you ever heard him? Have you ever seen his birth? The Christmas, when we talk about his birth, do you understand what he's trying to teach us? He's teaching us humility. The gift of God came and the Son of God came, but look what a humble way he came. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that he humbled himself. And he took upon him a body like ours. Look at his life. You know what you see by his life? You see an example. In everything in his life, he gives us an example of what to do. If you want to know how to do something, you see they're wearing these bracelets, what would Jesus do? Well, the truth of the matter is, I think some of the things they were doing, carrying some things where they shouldn't have been, but what I want you to notice is this. Jesus' life was an example to us. His life spoke example. Whatever Jesus did, that's what we need to do. When we look at a situation, we see how Jesus handled it. If you want to know how God would have us do it, we need to look how Jesus did it. But also, we know that by his death, he spoke. You know what he said when he died? You know what the cross of Calvary speaks? The one word that I hear when I look at the cross of Calvary? Love. He came for one purpose, to die. The Bible says in verse number 9 that he tasted, by the grace of God, he should taste death for every man. Now think about that. Look in verse 14, the last part of it. That through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. He loved us enough to come to die for us. Isn't that good? We love him. Why? You know how we know we love him? Because God so loved the world that he did what? He gave his only begotten son. When we look at the cross of Calvary, he speaks loud and clear one word. God loves you. You need to understand, he don't want you to perish. He loves you. That's why Jesus came. Then you find that Jesus not only died, but he resurrected. You know what the resurrection speaks of? Life. We have life. We don't have to fear death because we know we will fall asleep and we'll wake up in the presence of the Lord. One day we'll be given a new body. We don't have to fear that because Jesus resurrected. And so therefore we have the hope that Jesus resurrected. And therefore he brought life to us. We have abundant life while we live. We that are saved have a different life than everybody else. We don't have to fear tomorrow. We don't have to fear things like they do. We don't have to fear what's happening if we die. To be absent from the body is what? Present with the Lord. How precious inside the Lord is the death of his saints. It's a precious thing when God takes us home. Gets us out of all this mess down here. But until that time comes, what we need to understand is through his death, he spoke love. Through his resurrection, he spoke life. And when he ascended up to heaven, what he did was he gave us assurance. You folks who, listen, you guys who, and some of you that's struggling with your salvation, don't understand all the things, you need to understand something. When Jesus resurrected, he went up, and the Bible says here that he sat at the right hand of the Father. What happened was all power was given to him. That's to give us assurance that when we believe in him, we are saved. That's to give us assurance that when we call upon his name, we are saved. You say, well, preacher, I don't know if I did enough. Can I get this through to you? You don't have to do it. He did it. What you have to do is believe. You are saved by faith. You're not saved by works. You're saved by faith. You believe in what he's done. And so therefore, he sits as our high priest at the right hand of the Father. And therefore, he helps us out in times that we're tempted and all those things. So he spoke to us by angels. He spoke to us by his son. And of course, when his son ascended, in verse number 3, the Bible says also those that heard him. Who was those? Apostles. Now let me declare this to you just so you get your doctrine right. If you look in verse 4, the Bible says God also bearing them witness, both with what? Signs and wonders and what else? Divers miracles and what else? The apostles that Jesus left behind until the word of God was completed was given gifts. Now get this, because you can get caught up in this. Now listen to me very carefully. Don't you get caught up in all this miracle working stuff by all these people running up and down the road making a name for themselves. Hear me. If you do, you're just falling for a con. When God gave apostles, they were only given for a period of time. He used those apostles to write the word of God. They were the ones that finished the New Testament up. The apostles were. They were given miracles and gifts that none of us bear. I do not bear the gift of apostle. I cannot raise the dead. I do not have within myself the ability to walk by someone and my shadow cast on them, heal them. I do not have that power. Only the apostles did. These people running around this nation today claiming to have that power are fakes. They were given for one period of time. They were given as a witness that what they said when the angels showed up, they believed the angels because they were angels and they recognized that they were heavenly beings. When the Son of God showed up, he proved himself to be Son of God. As Nicodemus said, no man can do what you do except they be Son of God, because he did all those miracles. And when Jesus left until the New Testament was written and the first church age of Ephesus was done, halfway through it, what you'll find is it's the only church in the seven churches of Revelation that mentions apostles. The reason why is after the apostles were gone and the New Testament was written, there is no need for apostles. You are not saved by believing someone's miracles. The next person that comes and performs miracles is going to be the Antichrist. And he's going to perform miracles and people are going to believe him and he's going to be alive. We do not convince you today to believe Jesus by miracles that we do. We convince you by preaching the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit of God gets you to believe what the Word says. The Word, and God used the apostles to write the Word. But until the Word was written, the reason why they knew that they were apostles is because they could tell that those men had been with God, because they were able to do miracles. They were able to heal. When Paul was preaching and a boy fell out of the window and killed himself, he's preaching 3 hours and the boy fell asleep, fell out of the window. He went back there and he brought him back to life. Why? He was an apostle out of due season. They were given gifts by the Holy Ghost. And this group that runs around today and claims to have these gifts and all this, it's not true. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but it's not true. Do I believe God can still do miracles? Absolutely. But he does not do them by sending men, giving them signs and wonders, and having you to follow those men. He gives you the Word of God, and now we believe because we believe in him by faith in the Word of God. And we have the Word. He does not tell us to look, and as a matter of fact, he tells us just the opposite. We're not to be convinced by the workings of the flesh. And we're not to be convinced by workings that we do and the works that we do. We are to be saved by his faith. For by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of what? Works. That's any man who should what? Did you ever notice all these faith healers? You notice who they're always talking about? You know what they want you to give? One time I saw one and he was wanting to do all these blessings. I thought about writing them, and I thought, because he was saying, he was telling them, well, you sow your seed to me and God's going to give you tenfold. I started to ask him and write a letter and ask him, well, what if I just sow it to my local church? Just see what his response would be. But I knew what I'd do. I'd get 45 phone calls from him and a dozen letters. But I'll never forget that Tillman that was down in Texas. Brother Don and I went by his place one time. He had 5 acres, and it looked like an army base. Had soldiers at the gates, had barbed wire up on the fence, had a big old nice building, and looked like a kind of castle-like or a mansion right in the middle of it. And of course, he had a couple places throughout different places. And 60 Minutes did a probe on him one time. And what they found was this. He was paying people. He was talking about having all these prayer letters. And every time he'd have his show every week, he'd have all these prayer letters. And he put his hand on them. And he'd have you send a check with your prayer letters. And he'd pray over them. 60 Minutes did a thing and saw that they were just opening them, getting a check out of them, throwing them in the garbage. And that was just a bunch of blank papers that was there. And he wasn't even reading any of the requests. All he's doing is getting the money and checks out of it. And you say, well, people wouldn't be foolish enough to believe that. Listen, there was a woman one time I visited in Fallbush. We tried to get her to come to church. She would not come to church at all. But she was on a limited income, but she sent $100 to 13 TV evangelists every month when she got her check. And they just kept her going. They'd send her stuff and so forth, just keep her going. But you couldn't get her to come to church. But all she'd send Benny Hinn and a bunch of them guys there money all the time. My point is this. He says that you need to hear. You need to hear the ones that he sent. And how should you escape? Now notice back, if you would, real quickly, to verse number 1, chapter 2. It says, therefore, we ought to give more earnest heed. Now the reason why we need to pay attention is because of the ones that's been speaking to us. The angels, the apostles, but especially Jesus. You know why we pay attention to Jesus? He was creator of the world. He's the one who created everything. Look, if you would, in verse number 2. It says, and hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed to heir of all things, by whom also what? Verse number 2, chapter 1. It says, appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the what? Worlds. Everything that was created by who? Jesus. And listen, folks, you better pay attention to what Jesus says. Amen. He made the world. He made us. Everything's been made. It's made by him and for him. Right. And so therefore, you better listen. He's the one that died for your sins. He's the one that's going to be King of Kings. Look at verse number 8, chapter 1. But he has said unto his Son, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever, a scepter of righteousness and a scepter of the kingdom. Now, let me tell you this. When the Jehovah Witnesses come knocking on your door, that's a good verse to have in your memory. Right here. Chapter 8. They don't believe Jesus was God. They believe he was created God. But God called him God, so I believe he's God. He was God from the very beginning. He created all things. Everything was made by him. If you look in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 through 18, the Bible says everything was made by him. So he made all the things. And they claim that he was some way created himself. You better pay attention to his words. They're powerful. The word is what he created the world with. He spoke, there was light. He spoke, there was darkness. He spoke, there was water. He spoke, and whatever he spoke, that's what it was. Everything the Bible says in Peter, everything is held together right now by the word of God. His word is powerful. You better listen to what he said. He was able to speak to the dead. He said, Lazarus, come forth. You know what happened when Lazarus was in the tomb? He stood up. When he spoke to the dead girl, daughter of Jairus, you know what she did? She stood up. When he stopped the funeral service of the widow in Nain, and he spoke to the son, you know what he did? He sat up. He sat up in the casket. You know why? Because his word is that powerful. So listen, kids, and listen, everybody. You better hear him.
Amen.
Have you heard him? Do you hear him yet? You better pay attention to the time. Listen to me. Notice if you would in verse number 2 and chapter 1. The Bible says, hath in these what? What? Young people, you may not get this, but it's obvious to some of us. This old world's nearing. The days are being counted. But not only are we living in the last days where things are turning just as God said they would, you better take great heed, because you do live in these days, and in this day, many people's going to perish. Not going to be a lot of people saved out of these days. As a matter of fact, the church age during this time, the Bible says, is going to be spewed out of Jesus' mouth. There are going to be a whole lot more fake churches than there are real churches. There are going to be a whole lot more fake Christians than there are real Christians. You know why? The Bible says, Jesus said there in Matthew chapter 7, said, in that day many will say unto me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in thy name, claiming to have that gift of prophecy? Did we not cast out devils, claiming to have the ability to cast out devils? We not do many wonderful works, claiming to have miracles? You say, boy, that church, look at all them big buildings, and look at, you know, listen, just because they have fine buildings and have statues and all that doesn't mean nothing. The Bible says in that day many will say unto me, and he'll say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you. That's those that claim to be part of the church. The Laodicean church. the ones he spewed out of his mouth that had need of nothing. Last but not least, not only do you pay attention to time and take earnest heed of time, but look, if you would, once again in verse number 1 in chapter 2. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Can I ask you once again? Have you heard them? Can you hear them now? Notice, if you would, in verse number 1. Lest at any time we should let them what? You know why you better pay attention? Now listen to me, I'm going to close him. You let them slip by. That's why he says today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today is the acceptable time. When you hear him, that's when you respond. Amen. And that's therefore when you go, and I don't know where you got saved, but I'll tell you this, we can all get saved in different places. We can all get saved in different ways. And by that I mean, it might be in church service, it might be at home, it might be other places. But when you got saved, every one of us had something in common. We heard him. He bid us to come, and we knew we were lost inside of our heart. We knew in our heart of hearts we were lost. We knew we need to be saved. And when you stepped out in belief, or you called upon him in belief, believing in your heart that he was raised from the dead, that he died on the cross for you, he was the Savior, and you truly believe it in your heart, that moment he saved you. Now, I know some people argue, well, was I saved back there? Was I saved in here? Listen, I believe this. I believe the moment when you heard his voice and you submitted to his call, I believe he saved you. Because in that moment you believed, that moment that you was willing to come, you believed, you responded, and you repented. And you looked to only one. And therefore you come to one. And your faith made you whole. Did you get that? Your faith made you whole. But listen to me. Have you really heard him yet? Have you ever heard him call your name? Bid you to come. You better understand something. Better take earnest heed because of the time. Don't let it slip away. Hell is full of people that let it slip away. You say, well, preacher, I meant well. Hell is full of good intentions. That's why the Bible says, how shall we escape? If we, what? Neglect. You know how you neglect something? You always mean to go and take care of it, but you put it off. You put it off, and you put it off. And next thing you know, it slipped by and it slipped away. He said, therefore, while the Son has spoke to you, you better take earnest heed not to let this word slip away. Because only by his word can we be saved. Have you ever heard his voice? Maybe tonight you're here and he's speaking to your heart. You need to come. Would you come as we stand, Brother Porter, to give song? Most of the time on Sunday night, most of the time, usually is something that will deal more with the church. But sometimes the Lord just lays upon their hearts something, a message to the lost people. Maybe you're here tonight and you're lost. You need to be saved. Oh, you may be putting it off and say, oh, I'm having a time of my life. But you need to understand, don't let it slip by. Don't let it slip away. Let it slip away. One day it'll be gone. You'll neglect it. You may say, well, preacher, some way I'll get out of it. Nope, there's no escape. Absolutely no escape. The angel said there's no escape. The apostle said there was no escape. And Jesus, the Son of God, said there's no escape. He said, they that have the Son hath life, though they have not the Son have not life, but the wrath of God shall abide upon them. My friend, you have the condemnation of God upon you if you've never responded to the voice of Jesus. And if you have, then he lives within you. Have you ever heard his voice? If not, maybe today he's dealing with you, you ought to come. Would you come as we sing, Brother Porter?